And I feel all by my soul is ready to begin the days. And I feel I'm letting go and soaring on the wind. To survive,
praise the Lord. There is power when we get on our knees. You know, listening to my granddaughter singing, we can see that she's shy. But she's doing her best for her master. So, you know, and I always tell people that this place right here is not a joke place right here. And you'll never get comfortable to be here. People might think that you are comfortable, but it's a hot seat or a hot standing place. And so when someone as little as a four-year-old would want to stand up and sing before a congregation, we have to say to God be the glory. Because some of us, we are big and we still don't want to. We said we are a behind the scene person. We don't like to be up front, but today we want to thank God for young people. Thank you, St. Paul's. I don't know, one of you is missing, but we thank you. And so God is good. God is good. The story said that whosoever God called, he equipped. And I want to talk a little bit today about Jesus saying, come follow me. That's the topic of my talk today. And while I'm talking, I want you to think about what the Lord is saying. And so We're not here by chance. Don't think that you just get up and said, oh, you know, I'm going to go to church and that's it. God's Spirit is working on you. And you might not believe it yet, but later on you will realize that all the way my Savior lead me. And so deem it a privilege to be in the house of the Almighty God today. But more so, deem it a privilege to know that Jesus Christ is in you. Because this is a building. If you didn't come here with Jesus in you, then your coming here would be like, I'm just going to hang out. But if Jesus came here with you, then we are here to do what? To worship. And we are to watch, we are gathered in his name. We'll know that there will be blessings because he promised to be in our midst. Let us pray. Our Father and our God this morning, we thank you and we praise you for your amazing grace. We thank you, God, for the privilege to know that we have a Savior who cares. But more so, we thank you that by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be sanctified and make whole. Please, God, take each heart, each soul today, God, and mold us and fashion us after the similitude of your love. And I pray, God, that as at the end of this day journey, we may say, praise the Lord for his goodness. Please, God, cover us now, Lord. May I not be seen or heard, but Jesus Christ may be lifted up, who said, come and follow me. In his name we pray. Amen. So just imagine the President of the United States of America would be looking for members of his cabinet. And he would go to the most degrading places to find workers to fit in his cabinet. And someone would say, why not take the generals and all these men who are very intellectual to be a part of your cabinet? Why go to the most remote areas to find workers? For Jesus Christ, we would wonder why he didn't go to the Sanhedrins and the Pharisees and the scribes and all of these men to start up his ministry. But the scripture said that he went where? We learned this morning that he went to the Sea of Galilee, and there he saw some men. Can you just imagine how the religious leader must be holding such a grudge against him? What happened to us? Why is he passing us to go to find some foul-mouthed people to be a part of his cabinet? He is totally ignoring what the scripture teaches. He should be choosing us. But Jesus, the scripture said, and I want you to go back there because I don't want you to take my word, but let's go back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 and 20 to 20. It said, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishers. That means they do fishing for a living, catch fish. And I don't know if you understand what happened at the fishing village. A lot of crazy thing happened there. People are hostile, and they sometimes have loose mouth because you see they're rough people. But why choosing these men to become missionaries, to become leaders of the church? Why not starting with the leaders that are trained to do so? The Pharisees and the scribes and all these men who have been trained. Why go to the fishing village to find workers for the kingdom? You see, the Lord understands the hearts of these men, that they were dedicated. They were willing to ride the storm to catch fish. And you see, to follow Christ, you cannot be a weakling. You have to be strong in your heart, knowing that when the tides goes up or it go down, you are not going to turn away, but you will continue to press on. And by now, we know that in their own ability, they could do nothing. So like how they depend upon the sea to bring the fish to their nets, so they have to depend upon Jesus Christ to be the author and finisher of their faith. And so when he called them, they must be wondering, why me, Lord? Look at me, I am no good. But you see, when Jesus called you, he knows that by yourself you can do nothing. But he knows that through him you can do all things. And so, my brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you even today. Many of you have denied the call over and over and saying, God, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not standing here because I'm good. I'm standing here because of God's goodness. And so whatever capacity God called us to serve in, when you get the call, come follow me, my brothers and sisters. Do not allow God to call somebody else in your space. It will be of a great loss. Here we see Simon Peter. The Bible said that he was always the one who quick to talk. He never even think about what he's going to say. But God said, I want you to be a part of my ministry. And then we have Andrew. We never heard much about Andrew. But then we have John and we have James. They call them the sons of thunder. Can you just imagine what kind of personality these men have to be called the sons of thunder? It means that when they speak, people listen because they were hostile. But later on, through the power of the gospel and of the love of Jesus Christ, we see where John was called the beloved disciple. God does not call you because you're good. He called you because he is good and he wants to make you be like him. My brothers and sisters, if we would only say, here I am, Lord, what a blessing the church would be. What a blessing. What a writing would be beside your name. For Peter, we know that he wrote scriptures. He recorded some of the things that he saw, the transfiguration on the mountain, because he, as a fisherman, said, Lord, here I am. I will follow you. And because of his dedication, God was able through Jesus Christ to use him to be a pillar of the church. Can you just imagine a fisherman become a pillar of God's church? A loose-mouthed person, a hostile man, was now polished after the similitude of God's love to become a pillar of the church. And John who said, God, they are not of us, let us call on fire and burn them up. Later on, talk about the love of God. You see the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is to transform our lives so that we stop thinking selfish and start thinking godly and lovingly. John wrote some great things about the love of God. Well, as a matter of fact, in the book of John, he wrote about in the beginning was the Word and the Word was God. It's because of the revelation that God given to him because he said, Lord, I will follow you. And what about little Samuel? He was a young boy. He was only 8 years old when God called him. He didn't even know who God was. But under the instruction from Eli, he said, when you hear the voice again, said, Samuel, Samuel, said, here I am, Lord. Are you denying the call of God? Are you saying to God, God, I will come tomorrow? Are you saying, Lord, here I am? And then I want to talk a little bit today about Levi Matthew, one that had been hated by the Jewish people because he was a tax collector. But when Jesus said, Matthew, I want you to come and follow me. These were not good characters, but yet still, God saw something good in them. What about you and I? You think you're here because you're good or because God sees something that he can use you to do? A tax collector, one that sometime would abuse the people over taxing them, but God said, I want you to be a part of my ministry. And then we later on, I just read something that he wrote here. It was the same man who was an outcast by the Jewish people. We just read from his writing. You see, when God called him, because he was a dedicated man to keep records, God used those ability to use him to pen the book of Matthew. What did God give to you that you know that you could use for his kingdom and for his glory? What gift have God given to you? The fishermen, Jesus said, come and I will make you be fishers of men. For Matthew, he was a good record keeper. So now we keep records and tell you about Jesus Christ and the great things that he have done. He was hated, but Jesus loved him. You see, sometimes, my brothers and sisters, you cannot allow the people that you see deny you from serving God. Because in the sight of men, none of us is good. And somebody is always going to remind you that you are not good. What are you going to tell me? Your life is not good. But Jesus Christ sees something good in you. And as a result of that, you can use that to glorify him. If we would just allow God to be the leader and we follow. And stop listening to what somebody gonna say. Oh, what is he doing up there? Oh, he doesn't speak properly. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. Let's not worry about that. Let's worry about the one who is able to perform abundantly more than what we can ask or think of him. And if we would do that, the name of Christ would be lifted up and he would be glorified. For he can make the crooked way straight. He's the one who set the captive free. He's the one who healed the brokenhearted and the despised. He's the one who brings them into harmony with his love. Scripture said, when all men forsake you, I will never forsake you. My brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ loves you. And he wants you to be a part of his eternal kingdom. And this is why we know that he loves us, because when you look at who he chose, fishermen, tax collector, prostitute, all of these people are a part of his kingdom. You and I can also be a part of Jesus Christ's kingdom if we would say, here I am, Lord. Use me. The problem is, many times when we are called, we say, Lord, not now. But the talents that we have, remember that they are a gift from God. And we can use them to glorify God. Nurses can use those talents. When they go to attend to someone, they can express such tender care so that the people can know that truly they have something that I need. And we don't have to pray out loud, but we can pray. Nurses can pray for the clients before they even give an injection, that Lord, may this do no harm, but may it bring healing so that they can know that you are good. Whatever we do, we should remember that God loves you and he cares for you. You know, sometimes we worried about the people that are around us and what they're going to say and what they're going to think. And so we have opportunity to demonstrate to the world that we are followers of God, and we missed out on those opportunities. Oh, you know, I can't afford someone to see me with such group of people. But remember, when Jesus went to Matthew's house, the accusation was, how could this man be going around and hanging out with sinners and eating and drinking with them? Don't you know who Matthew is? The devil might be saying the same thing about us. How could you call them when they are no good? Look at their lives. But Jesus said that my blood is sufficient. Whosoever the Son set free is free indeed. My brothers and sisters, don't worry about what the world is saying about you. Listen to the one who said, come. Come unto me, he who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Come unto me. I'm just thinking about Simon Peter and the rest of them after toiling all night and didn't catch any fish. Then and Jesus knew where they were coming to shore, and he went there first, and he set up a fire, and he roast some fish, and he prepared some bread, and he make breakfast for them because he loved them. Even though they weren't good, he loved them, and he prepared a meal for them. So after a night of toil and labor, they could have breakfast with him. And when they came in, he said unto them, children, have you catch any fish? And they said, no, Lord. And he said, go back out and cast the net on the other side. And you see, when we have toil and labor throughout our lives and we have accomplished nothing, then we can turn over that life to Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, your life have a different meaning. When we toil and labor long without Jesus Christ, our labor is painful. But when we labor with the Lord, it is joyful because there's a harvest. Simon Peter became a great apostle. And so was Andrew and James and John. As a matter of fact, they were up in the mountain when Jesus was transfigured. Just imagine, in the very presence of Almighty God, looking at the transformation of Jesus Christ. These men weren't good, but God saw that he could use them for his glory. And their eyes have seen what the leaders, the religious leader, have never seen. Because up to now, many of them is still denying that Jesus Christ is Lord. But these fishermen, these ignorant men, unlearned men, God had revealed his power through them. Just think about where you are right now. And think about what God could do with you if you would allow him to work with you. And never say in yourself that, God, I don't have it. You will never have anything. Whatever God give to you, even if it's a little bit, it will be much, because he can multiply it, and he will multiply it. It's not where you started. It's where you end up. Look at the apostles, where they started. From fishermen to apostles. That's a great promotion. Think about it. I remember when my wife and I, we came to this church for the first time, we were sitting all the way at the back. And look where God bring me, all the way to the front. Isn't God good? No, seriously. We didn't know anything. But because we were willing to be learned, right? We dedicate ourselves to Sabbath school, wherever prayer meeting was, wherever it is, because we have a hungering for God. And because of that, God is able to use us. And I'm not perfect, but I know who is. And God can do great things through any one of us. You hear some story about where people started and what great achievement God had used them to accomplish. And then, you know, sometimes we covet them, right? Blind lady who never see the sun was able to write so many hymns. I was looking at Ray Charles the other day singing. And I'm saying, this blind man had so many talents. And yet still, we have eyes, we have hands, we have fingers, And yet still we don't do anything. But he used the gift that God had given to him. And sometimes you might use it for the wrong reason, but you can't blame God that he didn't bless you. He cannot blame God that, God, I couldn't see. He have to say, God, forgive me for using your gifts in the wrong places or for the wrong reason. Are you hearing the call of God? And what are you saying to God when he call your name? Are you saying, here I am, Lord, I am willing to follow you. I am willing to left everything behind. Or are you saying, God, not now. I'm in the middle of something, God, I'll come later on. When Levi Matthew left the tax collecting booth, he knew that he wouldn't get another job because he would be seen as a traitor, walking away from the Roman post and now saying he's following this set. And even when he tried to fit in with the set, some people are saying, man, you remember when you overcharged me? How can I even give you a place here? But Jesus Christ is saying, leave him alone. I have called him and I will equip him for my service. And what about Paul? What about the story of Paul? One of the greatest apostles ever. What about him? How did he start out? A persecutor. He would arrest and put in prison and give edicts to those who were persecuting the church. And even in the midst of his desire to persecute the church, God saw him and said, Saul, Saul, I want you to follow me. What a mighty God we serve. What a loving God we have. Who knows our thought, who knows our heart, but yet still sees something good in us. I can just imagine when Stephen looked and saw Saul standing beside him in the kingdom of God. When he would say, what is this man doing here? He was one who gave approval to my debt. What is he doing here? And the Lord will say to him, my grace is sufficient. You see, Saul had repented. And thank God for Stephen's faith. He said, Lord, do not hold their sins against them. You understand what I'm saying? Brothers and sisters, sometimes God wants to use us, but we are holding other people's sin against them. And because of that, we are so busy feeling bad that we cannot hear the still small voice said, this is the way, walk ye in it. But for Saul, he heard the voice of Jesus. And you know the other thing I want to say, brothers and sisters, never deny yourself of praying. Do you understand the power of prayer? You don't understand the power of prayer. You know that wherever prayer is, God, eyes are there. When God sent Ananias to go to find Saul, he tell him exactly where he was. He said, he's praying, and I want you to go there, and I want you to anoint his eyes. God know exactly where you are when you're praying. Did you know that Jesus Christ prayed before he chose his disciples? So when he was choosing, it was not just him choosing, but the Father and the Holy Spirit was choosing with him because they were in harmony saying, all right, let's go and start up this ministry, right? And so it was no accident when he called Peter, when he called James, when he called John, when he called Matthew. It was no accident. They already know that their hearts was ready to follow in the way that lead to eternal life. Today, God is saying to us, would you follow me? Would you take up your cross and follow me? And in the taking up of the cross, I want to remind you that sometime we're going to go through trying times. The disciples, as much as Jesus loved them, after the crucifixion, they forgot that Jesus had called them when they were not good. And what did they do? They said, we're going back to do fishing. You see, for the disciples, Simon, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, they could go back to fishing. What was Levi Matthew going to do? Because they would not take him back as a tax collector. So he had to decide that I will follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Brothers and sisters, some of us here, God is calling us, but something is holding us back. And Jesus said, if you are not willing to follow me all the way, then you are not willing at all to be my disciple. Are we willing to follow Jesus Christ all the way when he called you? Are you willing to say, God, no matter what is happening, I will go all the way with you? Jesus said, blessed is the man who left mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife for righteousness. You don't leave your wife because you want to leave. He said, if there's a problem and you can't agree to walk with me, it's best for you to follow me. And if your children are not coming, then you need to let them know that I can't go to hell with you. I want to go with Jesus. Simon Peter left the boat. He left his fishing net. And he said, Lord, I will go with you all the way. Andrew did the same. James and John, they were hanging out with their father when Jesus said, come and follow me. And they were willing to left everything and said, Dad, take care. We find a better trade. From now on, we're going to be fishers of men. And oh boy, did the Lord use them. Did they turn Jerusalem upside down? Even though some of them were beheaded and killed, but they follow the Lamb because they know that even though they were dead in this world, they would be living again. Are you afraid to follow Jesus Christ because you think you're going to lose out on something here? Guess what? Sooner or later, whatever mean a lot to you here will come to naught. After a while, all these things will go strangely dim. No matter how you enjoy it now, I always tell people, when you get a new car, the new car is so important to you that you don't want to park close to anybody because you don't want any scratches on it. You don't want oil in it. You just want to put your car by itself. But after a while, you look and you see you're driving on the road and something sent up a stone and you get a ding here and you get a scratch there. And all of a sudden, the car doesn't have the same amount of value that he had. All these things will come to naught. But those who put their trust in following Jesus Christ have a great future. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have it entered into the hearts of men what great things God have in store for you and I. The disciple knew that when they look upon Jesus, Jesus had something that they're yearning for. They see the love of God in him. They see grace and mercy. They see love. They see compassion. They see a caring master. They see someone who sees value in them. For the last place, someone would think that someone would go to find someone to work in such a prestige job was the seashore. But Jesus Christ said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Brothers and sisters, it is not too late for you to say, here I am, Lord, I want to follow you. But it would be very hard if when he knocked on your door, you said, I don't want you to come in. Because then you have no future. Without Christ, you have no future. Don't let nobody tell you any foolishness. No Christ, no future. No Christ, no life. No Christ, no hope. Christ is our hope. When the Lord said to Abraham, Abraham, come and follow me, he realized that God have a place to take him to. And he's still waiting for the city. Would you follow the Lord today? Would you allow him to be Lord of your life so that when that day come, you will hear the good saying, well done, good and faithful servant? Or would you hear, depart from me, I don't know you? When I wanted you to follow me, you were too busy. You didn't see anything valuable in me, so now I don't see you as valuable. What would you say if you hear the Lord speaking to you right now? Is it your job that's going to hold you back? Remember who gave you the job in the first place. Is it your home? Is it your wife? Is it your husband? Remember that all things belongs to God. Is it your children that you have been prayed long for, and all of a sudden God give you a child, and you see the child of so much value more than God? What is it that is hindering you from saying, Lord, I will follow you. I will go with you without a murmur. Where you lead me, I will go. What is holding you back? Brothers and sisters, we must take a stand for Jesus Christ. It is time for us to declare who we are. We are followers of the living Christ. And we should not be ashamed of him. For the disciples, they were persecuted, but they still stand up on the principles that Jesus Christ was worthy to be praised. In our Sabbath school this morning, I mentioned that some are saying that Jesus Christ didn't die, it was a fake, and all of these things. But let me ask you something. If you know that something is not real, would you give your life for it? Would you give your life for something that you personally know that is not real? They were willing to be persecuted, willing to be sawn. Some of them were willing to be eaten by wild animals. They have to found something that their faith was anchored on. They have to reach a place where they say neither height nor depth nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And because they know that God is worthy to be praised, they were willing to be killed because they know that they shall live again. In the first place, we weren't good. But I rather take my chances with Jesus Christ because I know I cannot do anything good for myself. And so I want to follow him wherever he goes. Am I perfect? No, but he is perfect. Do I know the way? No, but he is the way. Am I hopeful? Yes, I'm hopeful. Because I exercise my faith in Jesus Christ. Like the chapter of the Hebrews 11, right? They're all men of faith waiting for what? For the return of Jesus Christ. And so we are waiting also whether we are ready or not, he will come. I pray that when he come, he may declare us as children and not as alien. So many of the apostles, they were treated unkindly, but they were willing to go all the way. My brothers and sisters, look around you. The signs are everywhere. Something is about to happen, and we will have to declare whether we are followers of Jesus Christ or we are imitators of Jesus Christ. Is it that we know him, or is it that we know about him? Know about him will not be sufficient. We have to know him, who is life eternal. And Jesus said that my sheep know my voice. Are you one of God's sheep? Are you hearing his voice today? Are you hearing him saying to you, I'm waiting for you. Would you follow me? Heaven will not be the same without you. Would you come and follow me? And don't worry about what men is saying. your life will never be good anyway. You can never straighten out your life. Your life is not like a piece of garment where you take to be ironed out. Jesus Christ is the only one who can take out those wrinkles out of your soul and make you whole. Brothers and sisters, the time is coming. And now is, Jesus said, that we must declare that the kingdom of God is at hand. And man need to turn from their wicked ways. The old life can never make it. We have to say, Jesus, here I am. Come and be Lord of my life. Transform me so that my name may be written down someplace that saying that I am a faithful servant. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? Are you listening to what the world is saying? Are you ashamed to say at your workplace that I am a child of the King? Are you afraid of religious persecution? Oh, you know, I can't talk about Jesus Christ because, you know, the policy is wherever I go, whoever I work for, they know that I am a son of God. And I always try to invite people to be a follower of my Savior because I'm not ashamed of him. It is time for the sleeping church to be awake. And it's time for us to say, Lord, I will go with you without a murmur. Where you lead me, I will follow. Is there someone here today who is struggling with saying, Lord, I want to follow you, but I don't feel that I am worthy? Remember, you will never be good on your own. You will never be good. The only goodness you can have is by saying, Lord, I want to follow you. And like Peter, like James, like John, Jesus Christ will polish those rough edges and he will make you a new creation in him. So that when you walk down the road, someone will say, there go a son or a daughter of God, because the seal of Jesus Christ is upon them. The old and rough edges have been polished. And now we are children of the Most High God. I pray that by God's grace, when he calls us, we may say, Lord, here I am. Remember Peter. Remember James. Remember John and Andrew. Remember the tax collector, Matthew. Remember Paul. Remember David, that these men were not good. It is God who is good. And he's the one who can transform our lives and make us into new creation. He can turn the old things away and he can make all things new. Today, if you are here and you are struggling to say, Lord, let me follow closely. Maybe you're following Jesus Christ from a distance. You know, just be curious to see what next is going to happen. Maybe it's time for you to say, Lord, I want to be amongst your flock so that you can really take care of me. I want to follow you, Lord. Wherever you go, I don't want to be ashamed of you. I want to love you. I want others to know that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. If you are here today and you want us to pray for you, please come. Jesus called Simon Peter and he get up and he left the boat and he followed him. He called Andrew, Andrew follow him. He called Matthew, Matthew left everything, even the money. You see, the money didn't mean much to him because he found life in Jesus Christ. If Jesus is talking to you today, I invite you to come and let us pray for you, that you can take up your rightful stand, because the door will be closing at some point. And only those who follow the Lamb, wherever he go, will enter into his rest. Is there such a one today? If you are here and you want us to pray for you, please come. Thank you, Josh. Last week we were here, and it was read that the 10 virgins, they all was sitting, waiting. And when the time come for them to enter in, only 5 was found worthy. You must know, if you are worthy, then praise God. If you are not worthy, don't waste the time. And then later on you will say, I should have taken a stand for Jesus Christ when he had called me. Now let us pray. Our Father and our God, you have called Matthew, and he have said, yes, Lord. You have called Simon Peter, and Lord, you have transformed his life. Andrew, Lord, you have blessed him also and chose him to be an apostle. Not just a disciple, but an apostle. You have called James and John. And God, we know that you have transformed their lives because the testimony is there that they had been new creation under construction by your Holy Spirit. Today, God, you have sent us a message, a calling, to take a stand for you, to follow you wherever you go. God, I pray that as we hear your voice, we may not look to the other side, oh God, or worry about the other person, but we may say, Lord, here I am. I will follow you. Despite the odds against us, I will walk with you, Lord, wherever you go. I ask you, God, to be with Josh this morning as he takes a stand, Lord, because he wants to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. I pray, God, that you may bless his walk with you. And I pray, God, that you may use him as you have used Joshua in the old days to stand up as a valiant man for you. Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and thank you for what you have done and what you continue to do on our behalf. Remember your young people. Remember Danali, oh God, and the St. Paul's that sing for you today. Continue to bless them. I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.